to the Last Horror Podcast. My name's Christopher Brown. Okay, so Game of Thrones isn't horror. But, you know, there's zombies in it, so you're going to have to give me this one. As it stands, the show aired last night in America and will air live as such in the UK this evening, tonight. By the time you hear this, it'll probably already be on. And people have obviously given their opinions already on this last season. In fact, to the point that there's been a petition encouraging the Game of Thrones writers to remake the last season of the show. And that's now hit 1.2 million. Now, this isn't going to be a spoilerific episode going into the nitty-gritty of the show. I've not covered it at all. There are a lot, and I mean a lot, of Game of Thrones podcasts, and we'll get onto that in a minute as well. But I don't normally listen to Game of Thrones podcasts, and what I normally do is read The Onion and the two reviews they put out, one for experts, as in people who've read the books, and one for newbies, as if after 80 hours of television you could ever be new to the show. The reason for that is that the show, I always found the show quite hard to follow, if I'm being honest, with half an hour on a Monday night. And it's taken 8 years to show, so it's always good to get a reminder in terms of who's who. But recently, in the last few weeks, what I've started to do is listen to Game of Thrones podcasts. And the reason for that is that there's been this sudden influx where the fans are not happy. Really not happy. Now, but more than just this petition, and to be honest with you, if it's fucking anything anyone's got skin in the game for, people act like dickheads these days with fandom. But even when I was listening to podcasts, the podcasters were like, not happy. Not happy. In particular, not happy with episode 5, The Bells. Now, in episode 5, a character does something which a lot of people felt hadn't been earned from a narrative point of view. And the reason why they felt it hadn't been earned was that they felt that ultimately their character wouldn't do the things they would do, as in commit, in effect, a massive war crime, as if the series hasn't been littered with war crimes before. Now, if you are planning on watching these next episodes and you haven't finished it yet, I'd probably wait and not listen to the rest of this episode. But what I found interesting about that was, why do you care? Why do people care that much about how the series goes? You know, does the episode land as such? Is that you know, does the ending have to be truthful or honest or what you want? And does the filmmakers, well, TV show makers in this case, really owe the fans anything at all apart from the wish to show their programme? Particularly in a series that has always been renowned for kind of doing the gut punch moments. People, you would laugh at people freaking out about the Red Wedding. But now, obviously, that these big shock moments are still coming, or were still coming until the end recently, they seem to be far more willing to kick off. So that's what this podcast is about. Why are people kicking off? And what makes Game of Thrones so different than, I don't know, other long-form series? Now, back in the mists of time, I used to review a TV program called The Night Gallery Podcast. Well, The Night Gallery, I should say, in a podcast form. That was a Rod Serling show from the 70s. Episodic, horror-based. What I did was I covered, in an anthology format, just the short stories one by one. So there are actually more podcasts there than there are TV episodes. What I've not done, really, is do TV episodically, in that sense of it being anything other than, you know, I would not be happy. I'm sure there is shows out, people out there that cover things like, I don't know, what's your opinions on episode 4, season 5 of American Horror Story, you know. Game of Thrones is different, though. As I've already hinted to, I was, like everybody else, far more willing to seek out other people's opinions and just to understand fully what was going on in the narrative of the show. Game of Thrones is different because, A, it has a far richer storytelling and is quite dense in terms of what it was trying to do at points. Quite complicated, lots of strands, than, say, I don't know, American Horror Story, for example. But also, it was afforded people who may have read the books to be in a position to actually kind of guide people through what a lot of this stuff may mean. Because the George R. R. Martin books, people were in an advanced state of knowledge already, or at least thought they were, while the TV show shifted round and changed with the narrative thread nonetheless. What it meant was, people who were in a position of greater knowledge could effectively instill their knowledge in others. So you had a show where people were actively looking for more information than they would possibly, if, I don't know, if they were watching Breaking Bad, perhaps. And would kind of, there were people who could gatekeep and had more knowledge that they could then thrust upon the world. What this also meant was that we've now, that Game of Thrones created not just an industry for HBO to make more money, and these actors who have made lots of a fortune, and the writers who have then gone on, who know, will go on to do, you know, Star Wars and all that now. But it kind of created a cottage industry for people who were in the know and were experts in Game of Thrones. And this created its own language. So things like the Cleagan Ball, now, which is, you know, effectively one of the fights near the end of the series that had been waited for and hoped for and had kind of been delivered, feels almost like fan service and truth. And there's been various theories, you know, that have originated from places like Reddit over the years, like, you know, the parentage of Jon Snow as well, which has been proven to be true. And certain elements which kind of never really came to fruition. Like, what really does Bran's elements of the Three-Eyed Raven mean? Or the true origins and understandings of what the hell the Night King was up to have kind of been kind of swept aside somewhat by the TV program in favour of the final arc, which is the story of Daenerys. This creates issues, though, for these podcasters and these writers. One, that the study or idea and the concept that Game of Thrones has been rushed remains with them. They want more, but they, for more reasons than just, you know, pacing issues. They want more because it's a fundamental part of their business model. People talk a lot in terms of if only it had been 10 episodes long. But this 6-year episode series probably was running in a reasonably close to 10 episodes in length in time, but was truncated in terms of its storytelling method and also in terms of the fact that, you know, they're 80 minutes rather than an hour each. The wish for the story to keep on going also denies another fact that, A, the episode, the thing that they've been dwelling on and given information for and have been an influencer on for the last however many long they started, what, potentially 8 years, but probably more likely to be 6 or 7, has gone. They've lost that power. They've got mourning because the show that they've dedicated so much time to has now left them. And the general malaise you get, as I know myself, when you finish a long podcast series, you just kind of feel a bit empty. So maybe, when we're being honest, a lot of these people who have been filtering in information and opinion and, you know, influencing, as it were, have been a tad overcommitted. But I think maybe we've all been a little bit overcommitted. Game of Thrones' strength lies in the fact that it had lots of stories happening all at the same time. So when something would happen, it could happen within the means of maybe four or five stories that were covered in that episode. As series 7 and 8 came in, and all the episodes, stories narrowed together, that goes, and the stories feel more rushed. Not because the amount of time spent on them has been reduced, but because the number of strands has been removed, and all the focus narrows down very much in the end, not to, you know, to Winterfell and King's Landing, and then finally to just the King's Landing on its own. What I always found interesting, was the response to Daenerys and her decision at the end of episode, well, at the end, you know, 30 minutes to go of episode 5 of season 8, is that people were surprised. They were surprised that in war, that somebody would commit such a terrible war crime. They were surprised that when you kind of take place by force, that involves a lot of force. I think, you know, you look at characters like Jon Snow and Tyrion Lannister. Those are people who possibly think there is a just and a right way to kill people, or just and right way to kill troops, to have a whole siege, to commit violence, that things have to be done this way because they're the right way to do things. They pick a side and then tell themselves that maybe it's right, when obviously the reality of Daenerys' situation was always that she had a weapon of mass destruction and was more than willing to use it. These answer lots of questions in terms of how we may see war and violence. We think to ourselves, well, maybe things can be more just, when in actual fact, particularly with what was happening in that show, was taking a place by force because of a wish of birthright. The Starks are wronged because they lose some of their people and are scattered in an attempt to reduce their access to power. Daenerys is willing to take an entire castle and fortress and city because she believes that she has the right to do so. The response to that element, I think, is interesting. Interesting mainly because it kind of indicates that people have an ownership, a fan ownership of the art itself. Now, this is something that we see more and more from the response to Ghostbusters, which was very toxic, masculine toxic at that, to the Ghostbusters remake, through to the response to Star Wars Episode 8, which itself has faced people petitioning to have it remade in a vision that they think would be better suited to themselves. And here again now, with Game of Thrones, a series that has been known to be twisty and turny and quite obtuse in terms of not giving you what you want. And yet people feel like they've been cheated. And they sit down to people. So the phrase character development comes in a lot at the moment, which effectively comes down to the characters have done things I don't want them to do. Regardless of whether you think that might be true or not, the question of who owns the characters, is it the fan base? Is it George R. R. Martin? Or is it the writer and director of these episodes who themselves have kind of took it and formatted and into a function that they wanted, the story they wanted to tell? I think for me personally, it has to sit with who the fans call D&D. Again, a fan thing, a gate-holding element of who is D&D. Well, D&D is David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, who are the writers of and showrunners for Game of Thrones. But again, these nicknames, these phrases like Cleganebowl are again a sign of I am a fan. I understand what this is, regardless of the fact that these are programs that have been made, mass produced, and will the last episode of Game of Thrones will be viewed by 45 million people worldwide, which doesn't quite make it quite the cult clique that many people will say it would be. But does this element of ownership really matter? Will HBO remake the series? Of course not. Will people not watch the prequels? No, although they may be weary to, you know, sign up to another 8 years of this stuff. That, for me, would be a bigger element. The pack mentality of the fans and this wish to kind of put pressure on and voice disapproval is a communal effort, a part of a wider response to something coming to an end. When the world bandies together to say it's in excitement about something, a group of people will always retaliate. Now, this can be seen as the people who would turn around and say, well, I'm not going to watch that. That's got fucking dragons in. And frankly, I wouldn't argue with that logic. But also for people who kind of say, it's just not been good enough for me. It's not what I've wanted it to be. I've committed 80 hours to this show and I want something else. But that's another element of this. Game of Thrones has gone on for 8 years. It's basically took over my entire 30s. And I mentioned that Night Gallery podcast. I was only really just starting that when this show first came on air. And that feels like a very long time ago to me now. You can see it in the ages of the actors, particularly the younger cast, which have kind of grown up with the programme. And gone from, you know, young, quite gawky kids to being, in the sense of some of them, you know, people who now are at the front of big Hollywood films. Very few pieces of art take so long to consume. Only the, like, TV epics or film epics could take similar kind of amounts of time, particularly with one long-form piece of storytelling. So Harry Potter will probably take you maybe 120 hours to read. The actual George R. R. Martin books will probably come in at a similar length, if not longer. And the films themselves, the TV shows themselves, therefore, create more of an impact for viewers, because you're kind of locked in. You've made a decision. So the thought, A, that it's going to end is tough. And B, also that it's too much, you know. It kind of, I just want it to be in a certain way. There's a reality to this as well, that the journey is always better than the finale. Not knowing how a story can end has such more power for a viewer, and being in that moment and travelling through it rather than the end point when you kind of know how it's going to go. One of the things that struck me about the way the podcasts were in the last few weeks on these Game of Thrones is traditionally with podcasting, you don't really slag stuff off necessarily, particularly if it's like fanny stuff. You can if you want, but every time you criticise something, you're going to get way more bite back than you normally do. If you turn around and say, I watched this classic and I hated it, you're going to get some more pushback. And one of the reasons, I think, for that is that people have actively searched you out. They may have followed you on part of your journey through whatever you're doing in your podcast. So when you abrasively kind of say, not this, they can be quite negative. It's one of the reasons why, I respect that. Because I respect that element in terms of people have sought you out to either learn more about the thing or to understand a bit more in terms of what it is, or just to revel in or have somebody else's opinions which may possibly affirm them. So just to shut it down is probably disrespectful to those people that have found you, or certainly not what they want. So in this swarming mass of podcasts, turn around and go, the Daenerys heel change, again, another reference to pop culture that seems to pop up in these kind of cultural podcasts, a heel change being a wrestling term. The Daenerys heel change is bullshit, which is what I heard one show say last week. Or to describe them as Sandry Death is fridging a term from comic books. A, assumes a massive cultural knowledge, again, gatekeeping, but also fascinates me in terms of the fact that you're effectively at a point when you feel comfortable, happy, or able just to kind of burn it all to the ground, almost like Daenerys maybe. I'm not saying they're wrong to do it, and indeed their opinions are as equally valid and right as anybody else's, but the vehement attack on Game of Thrones. Something that, let's be honest with you, you've spent years doing podcasts about, so just to turn around and then call the end and bullshit, does feel massively extreme, hugely, is interesting. But again, that's part of the problem of doing it an episode by episode. Kicking off because John didn't give Ghost's head a rub before he left doesn't quite have the same weight when you realise that it's just a delay for when he does it at the end of the series. Indeed, the last episode, despite the fact that there's no way it could have been changed in the last few weeks, feels like it does address an awful lot of the criticisms that have been flowing around, such as this idea of why has Daenerys done this? And a chunk of the episode of the last show is dedicated to Tyrion and Jon discussing the reasons why and trying to deal with A, the grief of the situation, but also the grief of the fact they were so terribly wrong in the decision-making process and feel that they must make amends. It doesn't make any of the reactions earlier, a few episodes in a few podcasts earlier, any less valid. No, because they're in the moment, they're reflecting how those people feel when they're watching it. But what it doesn't do is reflect that series as a whole. Now, the fact of the matter is that Game of Thrones petition lashed another 170,000 signatures overnight after the end of the series completely. So evidently not all everybody agrees with me that the show kind of justified and explained itself. And indeed, the feeling of ownership or not being happy with the way it went is perfectly understandable and perfectly acceptable. You can say whatever you want about the programme, that you have bought it. Whether for your HBO or your Sky subscription or whatever it is, you've purchased that programme. So you're as vitally important and as entitled to your opinion as anybody else's. And the reality of it is you're entitled to turn around and call it bullshit. But what I'm also entitled to turn around and kind of query why. A, why do you care? Is it just because you've spent so much time with it? Or is it because you feel that you deserve more from the art you consume? And what does deserving more from the art you consume possibly really mean? With this podcast, I've done the thing that I said I shouldn't do. I've criticised. I've queried. I've not actually offered any answers. And even worse, I've actually not given my opinion on Game of Thrones. It's good, by the way. But in the maelstrom of opinions and thoughts and ideas on Twitter, and when you turn around and you kind of say, I'm not having this, or if you're one of the million people that signed that petition to change a programme, I wonder whether the query really is that the ownership of the art is what diminishes it and makes it less of an art. Because these are huge, extravagant, multi-million pound productions, we lose sight of the fact that ultimately it's a group of storytellers trying to tell a story and instead becomes more treated like a McDonald's meal. A certain way, in a certain box, but tastes a certain way no matter what. I want my thing to be how I want it to be. Like ordering off menu. When the reality of it is, for this story or for any story to be worthy or worthwhile, it has to confound or frustrate or entice or infuriate. Because if we just do stories that are whatever the studios want and nothing else, will end up with stories that are not of use to anyone at all. And the best thing about Game of Thrones is, and always was, that journey to the point always confounded and always took the road less travelled. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. I know this is a random thing and I've just kind of thrown it together. Hope you enjoyed it. It feels a bit ranty. Fuck, who cares? It doesn't matter, does it? That's what these things are for. If you want to get hold of me, please do. My email address is christopherthelasthorrorpodcast.com. Please don't fail abuse at me because it's just for what I've just said. I cannot be fucked. Get me on Twitter @orange_monkey. Go to the website, thelasthorrorpodcast.com. If you are after more podcasts from me, this is not the feed. You shouldn't be on this feed. Why are you on this feed? You should be leaving listening to this. You should need to go to videonastiespodcast.com or search for Video Nasties Podcast. And that's where I am at the moment. Last week we spoke about Paul Naschy and Blue Eyes for a Broken Doll. Next week we're going to talk about Norman J. Warren's Terror. It's completely different. I don't even query why you're interested in the art you enjoy or why you've got such strong opinions on stuff. What kind of fool am I? Anyway, take care and I'll speak to you soon. Goodbye.